questions that was asked that we'll seek to answer. That when I first got it, I really assumed that it would be one that probably I'd let Brother Slee do on Sunday mornings, so I didn't think it would take that long for a whole sermon. But the more I studied it, the more I got into it, the more I wanted to preach it, and so here I am. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, let's read some verses, and I'll give you the question that was asked. Start in verse number 1. It says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ." Over in verse number 20, let's keep reading. We'll skip down from verse 20. "But now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the firstfruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming." Now if you turn over, let's keep reading, but we'll skip some verses. Down to verse number 35. We'll probably read the rest of the chapter, because I just love this passage of Scripture. And really, if you get this passage of Scripture, probably be able to get the answer what we're looking for. But let's read it together. "But some man will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come?" Paul's writing here about the resurrection. I think it's clear. And he says there's some people that are saying, well, how are dead going to be raised up? And what kind of body? You know, how's that going to work? Verse 36, "Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain, it may chance of wheat or of some other grain. But God giveth it a body as it hath pleased Him, and to every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For one star differeth from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthly, of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Let's pray. Father, Lord, I thank you for this opportunity and the privilege of looking at your word tonight. I pray that you would open our ears and our heart to receive the word of God. Lord, we love you and we give you the praise and honor for it all. In your son's name we pray. Amen. I'm going to look at this question tonight. The question goes like this. The question was asked, what does the Bible teach about organ donation and cremation after death? Well, that's a pretty simple answer when I first read it, and then I began to study it and study it and study it, and I really have gotten into studying this and what the Lord has in this passage of Scripture. Paul, in this passage of Scripture, is talking about the resurrection. Now, the resurrection is extremely important to our faith. Without the resurrection, the Bible says, without the resurrection of Jesus Christ, our faith is in vain in this chapter. We have no faith, and we do not have the resurrection. And the resurrection is important. And the resurrection is one of the foundations of what we believe. Now, cremation, I think everyone understands what this is. Cremation is a practice in which after death, they burn the body. And ashes are taken up. Now, the ashes, that's most people, well, everybody that has that done is one of three reasons, is what I've ever heard. You've heard another reason, I've not heard it, but here's the three reasons I hear. Number one, because of religious beliefs. And by that I mean this. It is always associated with heathenism. Secondly, is because it is cheaper and a lot less expensive to have that done. The third reason that I hear about it, and the most common reason, is this, because that's the way that our family has always done it. Now, what we need to do, I think we all understand this, just because something is not as difficult doesn't mean it's right. Just because something is because everybody's always done it that way, doesn't mean it's right. We always need to compare with the Word of God. So what does the Bible say about this, or does the Bible ever even mention any of this whatsoever? Well, we get into this 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, and I give you some thoughts, and then we'll get into the message. First of all, I will make this statement, because obviously there's not going to be much Bible on this. There is some, I'll give it to you in a minute. But cremation, as I said, is of a heathen origin and has a heathen purpose. Anytime that you find cremation in a society that's being practiced, it is always associated with a heathenist society. One of which they ignore the Word of God, they don't want much to do with the Word of God, or have no contact with the Word of God. I think we've all seen pictures, movies, or books, or television shows, when you have maybe some knight or some warrior who has been laid down, and they take flames, and it's like something majestic, and they make a hero out of him by burning his body. Well, that's not what the Bible teaches. When it comes to religious practices, the Buddhists and the Hindus will practice cremation. They do so because they believe that once the body has been burnt and destroyed, it releases the soul from that body in order to be reincarnated. Well, that's false teaching. There's no such thing as reincarnation. Amen? Amen. I hope there's not a lot of Buddhists here, but, well, I hope there is a lot of Buddhists here. All right, there's no such thing as reincarnation. That doesn't take place. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Amen. All right. But it's always been associated with cultures that are foreign to the Word of God. Some people will, they believe, I've also seen this, some people believe in that they will go ahead and practice cremation because they're afraid that if they don't release that soul, as the Hindus and Buddhists, that that's when hauntings come. Well, there's no such thing as hauntings. All right. So what happens to a soul after it dies? It is either in heaven if it's saved, or it is in hell if it's lost. There's no in-between. Now, to give you an idea of what I mean by this, the practice of cremation associated with heathenism, in 1910, so 100 years ago, in this country, the United States of America, less than half of 1% were cremated at death. Less than half of 1%. Not even a whole percent. Not even half of 1%. Have you got that? That's a very small number. All right? It just wasn't much at all. In 1999, 25% were cremated in this country. In 2009, 30%. And already the numbers have passed that for 2010. So now why is that happening? Well, we can throw out there because of the economy and it's a lot less expensive, but to be quite honest, heathenism. When we get away from the Lord and a walk with the Lord, this is going to be something that's going to be more practiced. I'll make this statement. God's people have always practiced burial. Now, I want you to look at a couple of verses with me. Take your Bible. Let's go back to Genesis, all right? Look at these verses. And if you have questions on this, write it down. You say, well, of course, I'm going to be buried. And I hope that's the case in everyone's life, or afterlife tonight. But I give you this because of this reason. All of us deal with family, and this question comes up sometimes. And instead of saying, well, we just bury, well, we need to have reasons, and that's why we preach on these things. And it's very important, so I'd ask you to jot some of these things down. One main reason is because God's people have always practiced burial. Back in Genesis chapter, let's go to chapter 23. We'll start there. Genesis chapter number 23, started reading in verse number 1. Genesis 23 and verse number 1. And Sarah was 127 years old. These were the years of the life of Sarah. And Sarah died in Kirjath-Jarba, the same as Hebron, in the land of Canaan. Now listen to this. And Abraham came to mourn for Sarah and to weep for her. And Abraham stood up from before his dead and spake unto the sons of Heth, saying, I am a stranger and sojourner with you. Give me a possession of a burying place with you, that I might bury my dead out of my sight. In Genesis chapter number 25, Genesis chapter 25, and in verse number 8, Genesis 25, and in verse number 8, then Abraham gave up the ghost and died in a good old age, an old man and full of years, and was gathered to his people. And his sons Isaac and Ishmael buried him in the cave of Machpelah. So Sarah was buried. Abraham was buried. Turn over to Genesis chapter number 35. Genesis chapter number 35. Genesis chapter 35 and in verse number 19. Genesis 35 and verse number 19. And Rachel died and was buried in the way of Ephrath, which is Bethlehem. So Rachel died, she was buried. Now I've got to be honest, we could spend a lot of time doing this. Isaac was buried. Jacob was buried. Joseph, you say, well, Joseph died in Egypt. You know what happened with Joseph? He said he wanted to be buried in the land of Israel. So for 400 years, they kept his bones, and then they carried those bones when they left in the Exodus, went to Israel, and they buried him in the Promised Land. Now, if it's all a matter of convenience and it doesn't matter, it would have been a whole lot easier to get his remains to Israel had they just burnt that. But that's not the way Christians have practiced. I should say that's not the way God's people have practiced. And so Joseph, he and Isaac and Jacob all were buried. And to be quite honest, what we have record of, all the sons were buried. Turn over to the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter number 24. We could read a whole lot of verses, but I'll just give you a brief summary. Joshua chapter 24. Joshua died. In Joshua chapter 24, look in verse number 29. Joshua chapter 24 and in verse number 29 says this, and it came to pass after these things, Joshua 24, 29, that Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-Serah. They buried him. We go, let's turn over there to 1 Samuel. We'll go there. 1 Samuel chapter 25. Skipping some, but for time's sake. 1 Samuel chapter 25. 1 Samuel 25 and in verse number 1. 1 Samuel 25 and verse number 1, the prophet Samuel dies. 1 Samuel 25, 1, and Samuel died, and all the Israelites were gathered together and lamented him and buried him in his house at Ramah. So Samuel was buried. We won't turn here. 1 Kings chapter 2 and verse number 10, David was buried. Let's go to the New Testament, the book of Matthew, chapter number 14. Matthew chapter number 14, first book of the New Testament. Matthew chapter 14 and then verse number 10. Talking here, John the Baptist took a stand. He preached the truth. The king didn't like it. And because of influence from the wrong people, had John the Baptist's head removed from his shoulders. But in Matthew chapter number 14 and in verse number 10 it says, "And he sent and beheaded John in the prison, and his head was brought in a charger and given to the damsel, and she brought it to her mother. And his disciples came and took up the body and buried it and went and told Jesus." Look over at one more verse. Acts chapter number 8. Acts chapter 8 will establish this not only Old Testament, New Testament. Acts chapter number 8, look in verse number 2. This is after the death of Christ. In Acts chapter number 8, in verse number 1, Saul is consenting to the death of Stephen. We know what Stephen, who he was. In verse number 2, of course, Stephen was stoned. And devout men, verse 2 of chapter 8, and devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. Now, we could give a whole lot of other verses, too. But I hope you get the idea that all throughout Scripture, God's people practiced burial. You'll not find them, in any case, burning God's people after death. Say, now, why is it so important? 1 Corinthians 10:11 says, "Now all these things happen unto them for examples." In other words, we are to take note of how things were, what we've written and what we've seen in the Word of God. We ought to take notice of that, and what we see a common pattern is that God's people always practiced burial. Abraham, Sarah, Rachel, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Joshua, Samuel, David, John the Baptist, Stephen, all were buried after their death. Amen? Everybody's looking at it really weird. That's pretty simple, all right? And we can give you a lot more. Let me give you this statement here. This is one of the main reasons why I can get this. A burial looks forward to the resurrection. A burial looks forward to the resurrection. Go back to our text in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and I promise we'll kind of stay put there for a while. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, a burial looks forward to the resurrection. I believe we all believe this, and preach it to the choir here, and ought to be able to have a hearty amen. We believe that someday there will be a resurrection. Amen. We believe that with all of our hearts. Jesus Christ is the first fruits. He arose from the grave. He showed His power over death, hell, and the grave. And we know that someday, even though these bodies may die and be placed in the ground, there will be a resurrection. We believe that with all of our hearts. I've always wanted, it's a secret, I've always said this, I don't know if it ever happened, but I'd always love to have a cemetery on a property somewhere. I think it'd be great to be able to have that for our church to use. Call it Resurrection Ground. Wouldn't that be great? That's what it is. Amen? Amen. Now, don't get nervous, all right? We're not going to do that tomorrow. But that would be great, all right? So that'd be a wonderful thing. But it would be great. Great to have for our church to have and to use. And I think it'd be wonderful and have it Resurrection Ground, because someday the dead in Christ will rise. Bodies are going to rise. There is a resurrection to take place. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Jesus Christ the first fruits. See that verse 20? "But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept." Now, at times, tragedies happen. At times, maybe there'll be a sinking of a ship, a tragedy of a fire, something in that sort, so there'll be no body. You say, "Well, is that bad?" No, those things happen. Those things happen. But we as Christians, and may I say this statement, this is very important. It doesn't affect your eternal soul. Sometimes people take this belief, and I believe in practice, that a Christian ought to be buried. I believe that's biblical. You say, "Now what if they are cremated?" I've had this question, are they going to go to hell? Not if they're saved. They're not going to go to hell. All right? They're going to go to heaven. Amen. All right? That doesn't affect your soul. All right? Your belief in Jesus Christ and what He did for us on the cross is what affects your eternal destiny. But I believe an act of showing our faith is that of a burial, knowing that someday there is going to be a resurrection. Now, I believe a key to understanding this is in verse number 38 of this chapter. And look at this verse with me, verse 38. "But God giveth it a body as it hath pleased Him." This is talking about the resurrection. "And to every seed his own body." Now, well, Paul, there's people, obviously, in verse number 35, who are mocking Christians and saying, "A resurrection? There's no such thing as a resurrection." There are Christians who are pointing their people, pointing their finger at Christians and saying, What do you mean a resurrection? Is all the pieces going to be put back together? And all of a sudden where there's dust, and it's common knowledge, man returns to dust. Is there just going to be, what kind of body is there going to be? And they were mocking Christians, and Paul understood this, and he addressed these philosophers. He didn't call them philosophers in verse 36. He called them a different word. They're fools. That's what Paul said. But yes, there are fools who will say, how are the dead raised up, and with what body do they come? The key to this is understanding in verse number 38, Paul gives an illustration, and he's trying to teach. He uses three illustrations, actually. He uses this one of a seed, and then he uses the illustration how there's different types of flesh, and that God makes different types of bodies, man, animals, birds, etc. And then he uses the illustration of celestial bodies, that is stars and planets, and how they're different and different in their nature. And what he's referring to is this, and get this, as a seed. Let's take a tulip bulb, right? They're not pretty. They look like an onion. Don't eat it, all right? It's a tulip. When you put that thing in the ground, you know what happens? You know what happens to any seed you put in the ground? It dies. It begins to decay. It begins to fall apart. But what comes from that destruction? A brand new body, if you will. You plant a piece of corn, a corn seed, and that kernel in the ground. What happens to that kernel? It dies. It decays. But as it does, it shoots forth new life. Follow me? When it brings forth new life, do any of us expect to get that same kernel back? No. You don't get that same kernel back. But instead, you get something much more fruitful, much more, much, much greater and much better than that one thing that you put in the ground. Amen? And what Paul is saying here, the body is a seed. It is laid in the ground. It had died. It will return to dust, the Bible says. You say, well, what happens at the resurrection? God puts all the pieces back together. No. You get something new, a new body. You get, if God just put all the pieces back together and put the body just back together, you have what you started out with. And the Bible, and I don't know about you, but this verse says flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Part of this teaching. So he's saying here, it's not what's going on here. That corruptible is changed to incorruption. That mortal is changed to immortality. We have a body, and you can read the passage again, over and over again while I'm preaching. It doesn't bother me. You have in this passage, what happens? We have an earthy body, a body made for this earth after the first man, Adam, in the image of the Lord, and it was created here for physical living. But then, upon the resurrection, we will have a heavenly body, one that is suited for spiritual living. Now, just like you plant a corn kernel on the ground, and corn will grow, you have the continuity, it's the same thing. Travis Burke will be, his body will be laid in the ground. Upon the resurrection, he will be given a new body, a spiritual body. It'll still be Travis Burke, but a whole lot better body. An immortal body. A spiritual body created for heavenly. And that's what he's talking about. If the same God can create a different type of body for animals, and a different kind of body for birds, and a different kind of body for man, he can make a different kind of body for the spiritual. If the same God can make a heavenly body and an earthy body, if the same God can make a star and make a planet, and that's a deep illustration, which I really love. You know, from man's perspective, we can't see the glory that's there, but from God's perspective, he sees just the glory that's there. From our perspective, all the stars and the planets look the same. But from God's perspective, he sees the difference. Someday, God sees what's his. Amen? He knows what's his. But he's referring here that if God can do these things, he can create a new body. So that kind of covers immediately, and we'll answer this question first. Is organ donation wrong? Spiritually speaking, no, it doesn't really matter. God's not going to go find your liver, rip it out of somebody, and put it back in somebody else, and put it back in you. God doesn't use the corruptible body. God gives you a new body. Amen. If you say, well, you know, that's still part of me. There was a funny illustration I read. Roger Williams, there in Rhode Island, he died and was buried, and, you know, they didn't have vaults and caskets like we do today. And they found out years later that an apple tree had grown and stretched its roots right through the coffin into the dust that remained there. And so all these Christians that were there in Rhode Island got very concerned that they had partaken of some of Roger Williams and God was going to have a lot of problems. Well, that's not the case, all right? That's not the case. God doesn't need to put all the... We're not Humpty Dumpty who falls off a wall and God's got to try to figure out anything back together. We get a new body. And I'm glad for that. I don't want nothing to do with this old body. I want a new body. Now, what's still be Travis Burke? You better believe it. The illustration we had, the first fruits, Jesus Christ. He was buried. An earthy body. Now, he arose. Now, did that earthy body stay there? No. But it was transformed into a spiritual body. See, how do you know the difference? He walked right through the walls. He was suited for a spiritual environment. One day on the resurrection, we're going to get a body like him. Now, he says here in this passage, now read this with the context. Verse number 51, behold, I show you a mystery. This is not something easily understood, but we shall not all sleep. What's Paul saying? Not all of us are going to die. Right? But we shall all be changed. Now, what's he talking about there? The dead in Christ, they're going to die, and upon the resurrection, those graves are going to open up, and a new body is going to be given, and it's going to be transformed into a spiritual body. Those bodies are going to be changed. Some of us, if the Lord returns tonight, we're not dead. We may not die, but these bodies are still going to be changed. Changed into a spiritual body. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. Things change. We shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption. This mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and the mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying, death is swallowed up in victory. When we get these new bodies, no more death. It's done. Amen. The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You know why we're going to get this new body? You know why the resurrection is there? You know why we overcome death, hell, and the grave? You know why those things are possible? The victory is through Jesus Christ. That's the only way of salvation tonight, through Jesus Christ. The only way to get that new body someday upon a resurrection is because of Jesus Christ. So a burial looks forward to the resurrection. The reason why we bury is because we are as a testimony, as almost a last testimony saying, I believe that one day these bodies will be transformed and risen from the grave. Amen. Sow a seed, but will be raised. And he gives the illustration there with the grain in verse number 37. You sow grain, you're going to get grain, but it's going to be different. It's going to be greater. It's going to be better. I'll give you another reason why we bury. Here's a really good reason, if you'll write it down. Because God buried. I didn't say God was buried. God practiced burial. Now, you don't have to turn there, but if you want to write the reference down, in Deuteronomy chapter number 34, in Deuteronomy chapter number 34, and in verses 5 and 6, God buried. It says there, Deuteronomy chapter 34, so Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab according to the word of the Lord, and he buried him. God buried Moses. Now, where is he buried? No man knows unto this day. But God buried Moses. If God practiced it, and all the people of God practiced it, Old Testament, New Testament, and Paul says it is our faith in a resurrection someday, every born-again believer ought to practice burial. Cremation is always associated with heathenism. I'm going to ask this. I would not want to dishonor the Lord. If you have your full intentions upon being cremated, I would ask that we not have that service here at the church. Because I believe it dishonors God. We ought to honor the Lord in showing our faith to the resurrection. That we know one day that's going to take place. You say, now will you not preach? I didn't say I wouldn't preach the truth. I'll take every opportunity I have to preach the truth. But I don't think we honor the Lord and having that service here at the church. And I would beg, ask every child of God And I'll preach because I believe it's biblical truth. You ought to be buried. As a faith and testimony of what it is you have your faith in, that there will be a resurrection one day. You believe Jesus Christ rose. I'll give you another reason why we ought to bury. Because all throughout Scripture, burning is a sign of the curse of God. Burning is a sign of the curse of God. Sodom and Gomorrah, God destroyed with fire. Hell itself, a curse of God, the place of fire. We could turn to Deuteronomy 7:25, 2 Kings 10:26, and other verses where fire is a symbolism of the wrath and the curse of God. As a child of God, saved and a believer, that curse is not upon our life. Amen for that. Give another reason why we ought to bury. Because all through Scripture, it was a dishonor not to be buried. It was the dishonor not to be buried. You remember in 1 Kings chapter number 21, you remember Jezebel, Ahab and Jezebel? Jezebel is a wicked lady. Amen? Right. Some of you have a crush on Jezebel. You got to check your religion, all right? Jezebel is a wicked lady. Part of the curse of God is that she would not have a burial. She was dishonored. Dishonored. Matter of fact, the dogs, which is even worse dishonor, would come and eat and I'm not going to go there, right? It's disgusting, right? But that was a dishonor. When King Saul died in the battlefield, we just talked about that, they took King Saul and his sons and the Philistines put him up on walls and they made a mockery of him. They're going to let him just decay out in public as a mockery, which the Philistines were known for doing. But some Israelites said, that's a dishonor to the king. And they went in the night and they took down the bodies and they went and buried them. To not be buried was a sign of dishonor in the Bible. I give you another reason. We will turn here. Look here real quick. In Amos chapter number 2. Amos chapter 2. If you go to Daniel, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos. Amos chapter number 2. Amos chapter 2 and in verse number 1. Amos 2 and in verse number 1 says this. Thus saith the Lord, Amos 2:1, for three transgressions of Moab and for four, I will not turn away the punishment thereof. There's four sins that Moab has committed that God says I cannot, will not pass over. First one, he burned the bones of the king of Edom. They practiced cremation. Because they burnt the bones, God said I cannot overlook this. You know, I know in the world that we live in, we don't want to ever take a stand on anything. We're afraid of offending people. And I know the touchy subject in which we're dealing with, but I think if we just ignore things, eventually we end up going the wrong path. So in all my love and in all my heart, I ask you to consider this, that God says that's wicked. God says it's wicked. It's a practice of heathenism. God's people have always buried. It's a sign and a faith in the resurrection. God Himself, and the only person He ever dealt with that was dead, a child of God, He buried Moses. Fire is a sign of the curse of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. This is a good reminder. These bodies are not ours. They're the Lord's. This temple's God's. It's not ours to just throw away. It's God's. And I give you this and we'll close. Jesus was buried. You want reason? Jesus Christ is our example. He was buried. But we all know this, don't we? He rose again too. It is that resurrection that our faith is built upon. It is that resurrection, the reason we know that though these bodies may die and these bodies will be buried as a seed in the ground, and that seed will die and decay, but there will be new life. And this mortal, praise God, will put on immortality. This corruption will put on incorruption. I don't know exactly how it all going to happen. But the same God that made a different body for man, a different body for animals, and a different God for the body for the fish, and a different body for the birds, the same God who can make a terrestrial body and a star and all the bodies out there in the universe, if that God can do those things, you better know He can do this too. That one day, the earthy body will be dead and buried. But upon that last trump, most have died and buried. Some will not sleep, or some have not died. But at that last trump, we all shall be changed. These bodies will be transformed, no longer to have to live in an earthy body, but a heavenly body. And praise God for that promise. If you're here tonight and you do not know Christ as your Savior, if you're here tonight, listen, you're here tonight, God wanted you here for this reason. He wanted you to hear this message that you got to be ready for death. It is appointed unto men once to die. We are going to face death. You say, you just said some will not. If the Lord comes back, and by the way, He could come back tonight. I mean this with all my heart. God could come back before I finish this message. And if I was here tonight and lost and did not know Christ as my Savior, I wouldn't wait for an invitation. I wouldn't wait for someone to say, let's stand with our heads bowed. I wouldn't wait for any of that. I would realize I could go to hell. God could come back right now. I'd not be transformed. I'd not be changed. And the Bible teaches, by the way, if you know the truth and reject the truth and the Lord calls us out of here, you're going to believe a lie. You've turned your ear to the gospel message and said no one too many times. You know what I'd do right now? I'd stand up right in my seat and say, I want to be saved right now. Say, oh, is that important? Oh, yeah. Yes, it is. And if you're saved tonight, it ought to humble every one of us to know. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for being the first fruits of a resurrection someday. Father, I pray you take this invitation. Lord, challenge our hearts. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for the Word of God, which is clear and teaches your truth.